I'm a pack base plus a gimbal. Yannis in the fish. He's in the female fish.
Little bird fish.
So the previous puzzle said the Yannis davened. And this puzzle tells you what his tefillah consisted of. Vayemer, and he said, Karasi Mitzarali. I called out from the straits, from distress. El Hashem. Vayaneni. And you answered me. Past tense. You answered me. Mi beten shol, from the belly of Gehenim. Shol is a word which is used to denote Gehenim or a grave, depending on the context. I don't know where it comes from. Don't know. Shivati, I prayed to you, Shamata Kaili, and you heard my voice. Now this is a bit puzzling because Hashem hadn't done anything yet.
Well, he took him out from that
one. Yeah, but he's davening from the grave that he's referring to is the second fish.
Oh, yeah.
He feels like he's entombed. What Hashem do? Hashem, it says, by Yaneni, you answered me, Shemata Kali, you heard my voice. Nothing happened.
Well,
finally, when Hashem finally answers his Trila? Like 9 psukim later in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hashem tells the fish to spit him out, and he spits him out. So Ibn Ezra asks this question. Ibn Ezra answers by bringing our attention to the Lashon of Nevuah. He's saying it's very common by Nevuah to be written in past tense. And Sefer Yain is a Sefer Nevuah. It was a dialogue between Yain and Hashem, but the fact that it was passed down to us as a Sefer, as part of Tesh B'Ksav, means that these words are Divrei Torah. The Divrei Nevuah. Yaina. Yaina wrote his own Sefer. This is Ibn Ezra. He says, Nevuahs, it's common for them to be written in Lashon Avar. Because once Hashem gives a Nevuah, that means there was a Gzeirah on it min Hashemayim. And its actualization is a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. And something which is going to happen, it's like it happened already. So Yaina's words, even though at the time he was saying it, they were taking the form of a tefillah, but they had a double identity to them. It was a tefillah, and it was also Divrei Nevuah.
You got a Nevuah in the fish?
His words are Divrei Torah, Divrei Nevuah, and the words are in past tense.
Okay, but when did Hashem answer?
Nine psukim later. But it doesn't matter, because at the time he said it, the Gzera was already there. There was already a Gzera that he's going to be saved. So the Pasuk is written in real time, not in our concept of time, but in the Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality, Kadosh Baruch Hu's reality, it happened already. We just didn't see it yet. And Divrei Torah, Divrei Torah is used to express and to describe what's really happening.
So what about, let's say, a Nevuah like Ninveh that you're going to be destroyed?
We'll deal with that when we get there, but we're going to have a wonderful time with that. That's why I was a simple son of fish. Yes, 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 we have to apply this to that as well. When we get there, we'll delve into the waters. The Barbanel has a different approach other than the Ibn Ezra's approach. And the Barbanel, as opposed to the Ibn Ezra, said that Yaina is alluding to his future salvation. He's davening to Hashem to take him out of the fish. And his tefillah is contained. Contains only that. It's limited to that. And that's why the Ibn Ezra asked the question that didn't happen yet. The Barbanel said Yain is not talking about the fish at all. It's in past tense. He's talking about the past.
It's like a previous
Nebuchadnezzar. No, before he's going to daven, before he davens for Hashem to save him from his present trouble, He's acknowledging and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the things he did to him in the past. Yehi saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were always there for me. From the time I was very young.
What does that mean? You bet him child doesn't fit with that.
Well, he was dead. He was dead when he died. Was a young boy.
Was he in Gehenna?
I said Sha'ol could mean either Gehenna or a grave. I said that. Yeah, that's your. In this context, it means that you took me out of the grave. He was dead. Hashem sent Eliyahu HaNavi to revive him. He was in the water. That also happened previously. He was in the first fish. He was in the water again. Abarbanel said that this pasuk is dedicated to all the previous times when he was in mortal peril, when he was in danger, when he actually lost his life, and then it was given back to him. Eliyahu brought him back to life. He was in the big fish. He was in the small fish. He was in the waters. Tlashan Avar. The Malbim follows in the steps of the Abarbanel. That's referring to the previous times. It was just one slight difference. He doesn't include the time he died when he was a young child. And the mom also fits it into the pasuk. The mom says, Karasi, I called out to you. The word Karasi, I called out to you, which is the first word in the pasuk, is a tefillah acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelek and saving his life when he was thrown into the river by the sailors. So Karasi Mitzarali, I called out from the straits. I called out from distress. You saved me when I was thrown into the water. Vayaneni, and you answered me. That's referring to the second time he was thrown.
Mibetan
Shal is from the fish.
Vayaneni is by the second fish?
Vayaneni is when he was thrown out of the first fish on his way to the second fish.
Wait, so Karasi is the
Karasi would probably, yeah, that would be include the initial throwing and the swallowing of the first fish.
Okay, Vayaneni is.
Vayaneni is when he was ejected out of the first fish on his way to the second fish. Mibetan Sha'ol is.
What about being ejected out of the first fish?
Yeah, being in the water between the two fishes. That's Vayaneni.
No, what about the fact that he was let out of the first fish?
Well, to be let out of the first fish into deep water is not a good thing. But that's some farshim. There's a lengthy medrash on this pasuk that describes for us his experience. I'd like to share it with you. The Yakami Amlois. Yakami Amlois, he breaks it up the same way as the Malbim. He was thrown into the water, he thought he was going to die, and he was followed by the first fish. Then he was ejected by the first fish and swallowed by the second fish. And then the experience of being in the second fish. The Medrash says the Kadosh Baruch Hu prepared this great big fish to swallow Yehi. And he entered the fish in the same manner that a person would enter a tremendous, a large base of Knesset. That's a lesson in the Medrash. It's like he went into a shoal. That was the experience. That the experience of going into the fish's mouth was the replica of a person walking into a big base of Knesset. And he was able to stand up. He was upright. He brings from the Sefer Zayir that, you know, the The halacha is when one is davening Shemona Esrei, he's obligated to do it standing up. And you're in the daven in the belly of the fish. Sefer Azariah said that he kept all the halachas in the belly of the fish. He was davening standing up. So you see that the fish was like a Beis HaKnesses for him. There was plenty of room for him to stand up and daven.
Only regarding the silence?
What?
What does that mean? Just the fact that he could stand up? Just like that big?
I really don't know. You know, I really don't. Like I really don't know what it means. The Medrash says that he experienced walking into a Beis HaKnesses. Does that mean there were benches and standers?
No, what
I don't
you
know.
Experience when you walk into a Beis HaKnesses?
Maybe he had a lot
it's
of
like
room.
It's like a feeling of space.
Depends how big the Beis HaKnesses.
It says it was a big one. There's a feeling of space. It's a feeling this is a place to daven. You know, so when you're cramped, you feel like I can't daven here. I gotta get out. It was like he had the feeling of a place which is fit for tefillah. It's obvious why Hashem did that. Hashem wanted him to daven. So Hashem gave him the experience. He had the smell of a Beis Medrash. He smelled the leather upholstery. The eyes of the fish were like transparent windows, and they illuminated the underwater world for Yena. It was like transparent windows. He was able to see through them, and it lit up. It provided light. That's one opinion. The other opinion is that there was a stone. A margolius, a precious stone.
Zohar.
Tell me if this sounds familiar to you.
From Yonah.
Yes.
From Noah.
Is it the same stone or a different one?
I have no access to that information.
How many glow in the dark stones are there?
There was a precious stone, a margolius, that was hanging in the innards of the fish.
It was hanging?
Yes, it was hung like chandelier. And it provided light for Yena. And for Yena, it was the same light as midday. Inside the fish, it was like lit up, like midday. And he was able to see by this light all the secrets of the depths. The pasuk, there's a pasuk in Tilarim that... What? Well, the first fish, he was there for 3 days and three nights.
Oh, that wasn't for both?
No. You see, that's the thing. There's some mefarshim that they don't deal with two fish. The mefarshim that make the diak between dog and daga, they break it into two fish. Not all mefarshim address that. They have another, you know, they say dog means a fish and daga means general, you know, the general species of fish.
What is that?
You know, like there's man and there's mankind. So there's dog and there's daga.
Yeah, but
like,
according to them,
the one pasuk was talking about the fish in particular, and the fish, there's a fish that has its own unique individual identity, and then there's a fish that identifies as a part of a whole, a part of a group. But it, you know, there's only one fish, and the Medrash doesn't address two fish.
This Medrash?
This Medrash does not address it.
Oh, so in this one, he was three days.
The Pasuk in Tilim, which we know very well, or is a Ruel HaTzadik, is a light which is sown for the Tzadik. That's referring to this light that Hashem prepared for Yair and the fish. Or is a Ruel HaTzadik, this year there's Simcha.
Submarine.
The fish told Yair some very disconcerting news.
They talked?
Disconcerting.
Yes. The fish told Yair, every day, it's a designated day. Every fish has to take a turn to come in front of Leviathan and has the distinct honor and pleasure of being eaten by the Leviathan for lunch. And Yena said to the fish, haha, so when's your day?
Tomorrow.
And the fish said today. It's like the doctor said to the patient, I've got bad news and worse news. He said, okay, tell me the bad news first. He said, you only have one day to live. He said, okay, what could be worse than that? We're trying to reach you since yesterday. The fish told Yena, You have all the fish, of all the fish, the Chval Jena, it's the fish that's going to be eaten by the Leviathan that day. Amal Jena, Halicheni Yetzlai. So Jena tells the fish, I want you to bring me there. Amal Jena Leviathan. So Jena starts talking to the Leviathan. He says, you should know I came down here for especially to see you. I want to see where you live. I want to see what, you know.
Was the Leviathan just like this monster?
It's a fish.
What's his purpose?
Chazal say that... One moment, and you'll see. Chazal say HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Leviathan Sheshish Mei Breshis, and his purpose won't be actualized until the end of the days of this world. So Yeni said, I came down here to see where you live. Why? Because I have a destiny. My destiny is to take a rope, tie it around your tongue, bring you up, shecht you, because we're going to have a big suda for the tzaddikim. So I just came out to, you know, check out the turf. Now I want to see the setup. You know, before you launch an operation, you want to see the... I'm gonna map out, you know, get the updated information. So the operation will be smooth. Case the joint. Zapasuk in Eiv. Tim Sheikh Leviathan Mechika. Leviathan is gonna be dragged by his palate. Ubechevel Tashkiel Shinai, and his tongue will be sunken into a rope.
Why is he so bad? Good. What is
it? It's not that. He's got to be shechted for the tzaddikah. He's good. He probably tastes good. He's a good Leviathan. Only the best tasting Leviathan gets to be served.
Are there many Leviathans? Is there one?
There were two, and Hashem killed one. This is the other one.
And what are they both going to be eaten then? Or are they?
It's different midrashim. This midrash says this one's going to be
eaten. I have a question. What if you don't like fish?
You'll like this one.
That's what my grandfather always says.
This is a good one.
This is a big one.
So Leviathan was not intimidated. I mean, Chazal say that the one thing that you cannot do to Leviathan is intimidate him. There's no way to cause a reaction in him. I mean, you can't cause him to react. He acts on his own. He's independent. You can't influence the way he acts or moves. He's a creature that's totally impervious.
What does he look?
It looks like a fish. But Yaina showed Leviathan that he's a true descendant of Avraham Avinu, and he has a bris milah, and he quotes the pasuk habet lebris, lebris habet al teifon leyetzer. It's in Slichas we say it, habet lebris. This medrash is all based on psukim. Leviathan saw, and he swam away a great distance from Yaina. A two-day journey. Swam, you know, a distance of 2 days swimming to get away from Yerna. Needless to say, the fish was very grateful to Yerna because he prolonged his life. He's not going to be eaten. At least that day he's not going to be eaten. So Yerna tells the fish, he said, I saved you.
I'm going to get it. Leviathan's like the king of the underworld.
Do the fish want to sacrifice itself or not?
Well, Yonah told the fish, I saved you from Leviathan's mouth, so you owe me. So it seems like the fish didn't. You don't really have a choice. He said, in return, I want you to show me all the secrets of the depths. And all these things are based on psukim, and we're going to learn those psukim. But this matter, you know, every single prat, every single detail of this matter comes from a pasuk. He wants to see the true source of the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, there's like underground rivers that feed into it. He wants to see it. The pasuk says, "Tahom Yisavaveni." The Yenu was surrounded by the depths, so that tells us that he wanted to see the source of the depths. He showed him. And he showed him the waves that were produced by this underground sea, and that the pasuk says, "Komish Barecha V'Galecha Layavor." The waves passed upon me. We're gonna see this psukim. Those are the next psukim. There's something called You see, I don't know what all these things are. I'll just read them to you as they are. I don't know if anybody knows what these things are except for Yaina, because he saw them. But he showed them the Amudei Eretz Yamsuf, these pillars of the land of the Yamsuf. So he showed him the supports, pillars and supports of the lands of Yamsuf that the Bnei Yisrael went through.
Oh, when they crossed the...
They crossed through. She showed them the supported area that they went through. I'm not exactly sure what it means, the pillars of the land of Yamsuf.
Well, didn't that mean that they're whatever's like divided into sections?
That could be.
Something held up.
But the water was... the water separated into 12 channels. The water became, you know, solid like rock. Suf Kavish L'Reishi. He showed him the Mishbriyam, that's the way the waters break against each other.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Mishbriyam. There's like some kind of place where the water, at a certain point, has to stop. It's like the water runs into, it's like a phenomenon of the water running into a brick wall. It's like, stop. He showed him those breaks, you know, where, you know, at a certain point where Hashem stopped the water, stop, and bangs up against it. He showed him Gehenim. He showed him the Heichal of Hashem.
I didn't know all that was in the Mediterranean.
Underneath it.
Underneath the Mediterranean?
Well, I don't know. You see, it could be it was underneath Eretz Yisrael. You know how, we don't know how deep this creature went. And what's beneath it, you know, what underground channels there are. He showed him the seven mountains that Yerushalayim is standing on. It's more than that. Show them the Evan Shasiya. You've heard of the Evan Shasiya?
Yes.
That's the first rock that the world was created from.
But it was connected to the water that's on land, isn't it?
That was like the Dome of the Rock that's over there somewhere.
That's what the Arabs claim, but they're wrong. They have the wrong location.
Where is
it? The Evan Shasiya is located underneath where the Aron was. The Aron Kodesh, which is in the Kodesh Kadashim. The Dome of the Rock is not close enough to the Kodesh Maravi for it to be the Makom Kodesh Kadashim.
Well,
the Kodesh Kadashim was on the western side of the Beis HaMikdash. It was all the way, you know, by the Kodesh Maravi.
Gotcha.
If you go on the Kodesh Tunnel Tours, there's a place that they take you.
Yeah, they say it's exactly
the opposite. The closest place that anybody could ever, is allowed to go to the Kodesh Kadashim.
Either way, it would be buried under a lot. It would be under.
It's deeply buried. Yeah, so from underneath, I guess you could see it.
But it's connected to the water.
Or you could see it from an underground source. On this rock, there's I don't know what to call them, people, individuals, beings that are davening on this rock. The children of Kerach are davening on the rock. Kerach's children are davening on this rock. The fish said to Yaina, "You're standing underneath the Beis HaMikdash. Right now, this is the holiest place on earth. I promise you, if you daven, Hashem is going to hear your tefillah here. This is the place. This is the place of tefillah. Karasi mitzara vayaneni. I call out from tzara and you answered me. Because since he was there, the fish told him ahead of time that he's going to be answered. So this is another pshat, why it's in Lashon Hara. He was told in advance by the fish that he's going to be answered. It's a third pshat.
Why didn't he answer that he wouldn't have to go to an invite, that he wouldn't get the Nebuah? Why didn't he
report? No, he's going to go.
He decided he was going to go.
You'll see, he's going to go.
On the magic carpet, right?
He's going to go.
He's ready.
So Yana told the fish, he should stand still. I want to daven, you know, like, they have, like, the Monty bus that goes from early in the morning from Monty to Manhattan, and they daven on the bus, but when there's time for Shemir Esrei, the bus stops.
I love that bus.
During the rest of davening, go, when it comes to, they stop for about 5-6 minutes, and then he goes. So Yehuda told the bus to stop. He told the fish, stop moving around after davening. He davened. Tefillah is a beautiful tefillah. I'll read you the tefillah. It's a beautiful tefillah.
Do we say it? This tefillah brought down anywhere?
Please, God, no. Take me out of the fish.
Come up with this.
Rabbeinu Olam, I can't run away from you. There's no place that you're not present. If I go up to the Shemaim, you're there. Go down to the Aretz, you're here. You're everywhere. You're the king of all the kingdoms. You're the master of all. Your throne is in the heavens, and the earth is your footstool. Your kingdom is on high. And your sovereignty, it runs very deep. It's not just a shallow. It's not shallow. All occurrences in the world are an open book in front of you. There's no secrets. The ways of man, you understand very deeply. And the footsteps of all living creatures are revealed to you. You know what's going on in our innards, in the deep recesses of our innards, the secrets of our hearts. There's nothing hidden from you. It's all laid out for you in a very organized fashion. It's not like mumble jumble. It's meticulously organized. You see both good and evil in this world. I'm asking you, Hashem, answer me from the belly of Gehenna. Save me from the depths. Let my tefillah enter your ears. Fulfill my request. Because even though you live, your residence is upon high, but you hearken to tefillahs as if you're close. One of the praises of Hashem is a ma'ilu ma'irud. You bring up and you bring down. It's a pasuk. Please take me out. Take me out. Maybe some mechayi. You kill, and you bring life. I've arrived at death. Now bring me back to life. You've done that already. You know, Mamis and Machaya. We did the Mamis already. Now it's Machaya. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a Trila. What a Trila. What a Trila. What happened when he says it's Trila?
Fish spit him out.
Nothing. Archie had to double down and say it. Nothing happened. Until finally he said, Vashinadarti, Lahalas is Leviathan. I make a nether. I'm going to take Leviathan out. And I'm going to bring him as a carbon in front of you on the day of Klal Yisrael's salvation. And I will bring carbonus as like a carbon tater for you. So then the fish spit him out. Mm-hmm. And we're going to come back to this medrash. Now, this medrash goes hand in hand with what we've learned before. The Yaakov Shemarni said Yaina was Mashiach ben Yosef. Remember, Bar Yavai Barina.
He'll be the one.
Yonasan ben Amitai. He's going to be the one that brings all of Klal Yisrael together. The Klal Yisrael gets their identity back as a nation, that they're a sovereign kingdom. He's going to restore the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's going to be the one that's going to bring the Suda for Tzaddikim. The Suda of Gili. The revelation of Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until he made that nether, Hashem didn't let him out. And you could figure out that somehow or another included in that nether is he's going to go to Nineveh.
Yeah, I was waiting.
Yeah. He's going to go to Nineveh. Alright, so this is just Akdama to these Psukim. You know, we're going to see them. The Psukim unfold. As we, you know, this is an introduction to Psukim unfold. The one thing which remains I wanted to talk about today is the parallels between Tevis Nayach and Yaina Bimei Hadog.
We got late.
We saw some of them. I mean, number one is a parallel that they both were saved from water. You know, Nayach was saved from water via a boat, and Yaina was saved through a fish. And There's a machlekes by the Tevis Nayak, whether it was a window, whether it was an Eben Taiva, a precious stone. And we have an identical machlekes by Yaina, whether the light came from the transparent, luminescent eyes of the fish, which is a parallel to the window of the Teva, or if it was an Eben Taiva. By Yaina, his needs, he survived in the belly of a fish. His needs were met or provided by Derech Nes. That means Derech HaTeva didn't rain. Derech HaTeva, you know, the laws of nature didn't rain inside of the fish. He was transcended to a higher existence. And by Tevis Nayak, we find the same thing. The Vilna Gaon and the Ramban both say that Al-Pi Derech HaTeva you cannot put in a teva of those dimensions enough food to feed all the people and all the chayas and the behemoths for an entire year. You can't. What?
Which one? The Vilna Gaon and
the Ramban. You can't. It's impossible. Do you have any idea how much an elephant eats in one day?
A lot.
And two elephants? And two rhinoceros? Two rhinoceri? And if there were seven of every kosher animal? Seven bulls, seven cows, of every single species. There's no way. The animals, if they fit in, who knows? You know, the people, the garbage. There was one big nace.
Well, could dump the garbage.
Yeah, why couldn't he dump it out the window?
Well, it's only according to the sheet that said they had a window.
Everyone holds it was a window.
Yeah.
Pasuk says
it has to because yeah.
Because Og's head had to be in somewhere.
There's a couple of Arthurs in that. Og's head. When you're starting over the world.
It was in the water?
Shipping is garbage.
Did you ever, you know, sing the Zmir on Shabbos? Yeinu matzavai manayach, v'sham yinuchi yigi yakayach.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder what the word Yeinu has to do with the word manayach? Yaina, Pashit, the most obvious interpretation of that Zemer is that we're talking about the dove that Yaina sent out.
Yeah, isn't that what it was?
It was on Shabbos. It was on Shabbos.
No, Christ.
On Shabbos. And the dove found a resting place and didn't come back. You know, the third time he sent it, didn't come back. Yaina Matzavai Menayach was Shabbos. And the dove rested, so everyone else is going to rest on Shabbos. But a deeper meaning is Yaina Matzavai Menayach, is Yaina Navi found Menucha the same way that Nayach found in the Teva. Yaina Matzavai Menayach. Just like Nayach was saved in the Teva, so Yaina had his own Teva. And the parallels between Yaina and Nayach. Fairly obvious because both of them are necessary for Hatzalas Kol Ha'olam. They're both necessary. Yaina and Nayach are necessary for Hatzalas Kol Ha'olam, for bringing an end to the old world and being a part and parcel of a recreation of a new world. Nayach did it in his time and Yaina has yet to do it. And part of that process is going to Nineveh. In order to recreate a world, you can't recreate a world on the ruins of the old world. Do you know how much time they invested in clearing the World Trade Center area of the debris? Years. Why don't they just build over it? You can't. You can't build a building on top of ruins. It won't have stability. There's only one way to build a structure of worth, a structure of value, and that's to totally obliterate everything that came before it and renew it.
You start building on the world?
I think they finally agreed on the design. They're going to start construction soon. In order to recreate, you know, Klaish has to be recreated. Yaina has to be sent on a shlichus. A city has to be overturned. If that leads to Klal Yisrael being overturned, like there's two ways that Klal Yisrael can react to that. They could do tshuva, which is also a way of it's a form of tkiyas hameisim. It's a form of recreation. Tshuva is not just saying you're sorry. Tshuva is being a total about tshuva. Tshuva is disassociating oneself from the avera. I didn't do that avera. That was a different person who did avera. I'm not that anymore. If they don't recreate themselves through tshuva, then they have to recreate themselves by getting lost. As Rosh Hashvatim are lost. And if they come back, they're going to come back. They're going to be unidentifiable from what they, you know, unrecognizable from what they once were. That's the only way. Either do tshuva or be lost and come back as a totally different, you know, entity. There's Nayach. The entire world was obliterated. And Nayach created a totally new world in Yaina. So those are the parallels. And that's what we see from this Pasuk and from this Medrash. Pasuk, we'll see. Pasuk Dalet. Vatashlicheni Mitzula. And you threw me into the depths. Belavav Yamim, the heart of the seas. When Nahar Yusei Veveni, and the river surrounded me. Then this is a cryptic passage.
Yeah, what did he say, the river?
He's in the middle of an ocean. And the rivers surround me. Kol Mishparecha V'Galecha, the breakers and the waves. It's two different types of waves. You know what breakers are. Yeah, when they hit against the waves is while they're traveling. Breakers are the ones that come back. Eliyavaru as they passed over me.
Isn't Nahar a river?
He just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a commentary by the Maharikara. We've mentioned him before. Mem Hei Reish apostrophe Yud, Kuf Reish Aleph. The Maharikara. He learns Pasuk on this Pasuk. There's underground rivers. There's underground rivers, and the Maharikara, and they eventually leave the ocean. They leave the main body of water. They leave the depths at some point, and they form rivers that go throughout dry land. They emerge in the air. So he said, rivers, our rivers.
Where did they lose their salt?
That's a good question. Well, I think your question should be adjusted a little bit. Why don't they pick up the salt on the way through the depths of the ocean? These are underground wellsprings that are on the bottom of the ocean. They waft their way through the ocean and come up on dry land and form rivers.
They should have salt.
Yes, I mean, you're asking me why doesn't the salt get mixed into them while they're going through the rivers?
Yeah.
The source is fresh water. The underground wellsprings are fresh water.
Yeah, but they're going through.
They're passing through. That's your question.
Well, if they're moving fast enough and there's a constant stream, like a single stream, then the salt water wouldn't get in. It would just be a tunnel of fresh water, like in Finding Nemo.
Yeah, I don't know if we could explain this in the physical sense.
Well, you know, it's a CG movie, so I can explain it.
That's how the Maharikara explains it. So Yaina was being surrounded. Rivers were winding their way around him. The Malbim explains this based on the three things that happened to him. So the first thing that happened to Yana is he was thrown into the sea. So that's Vatashlicheni Mitzula Bovav Yamim. So he was thrown into the sea. Then it says V'nahar Yisei Veveni. That's the second step. That normally, the difference, one of the differences between a yam and a nahar, between a main body, a sea and a river, is that a river has a path, it flows, and a sea doesn't flow. I mean, there's waves, but the sea does not flow. It doesn't flow from one place to another. It stays in one place. That's what it's called, a mikveh. A mikveh stays in one place. A nahar flows from one place to another. A nahar that doesn't flow is not a nahar. It flows. When it says nahar, you say Raveni, that a river surrounded me. So the Malbim says that's not technically true. He was in the ocean. He was in the Mediterranean Sea. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the nature of a river to the sea. That for that particular time, that moment, the Yena was in it, the ocean was traveling from one place to the next. It had direction to it. And the purpose of this was to drag him down and suck him down into the bottom, because the human body has a tendency to float. And we especially saw that, and the Gemara said, the Gemara tells us how Rabbi Kiva, he floated from one wave to another until he reached dry land. And by Yena, that was the nature that the sea took on itself by Rabbi Kiva, that it tossed him from one wave to the next. But by Yena, it wasn't that way. By Yena, the sea actually acted as a river that had a direction to it, and it sucked him down until the waves were on top of him. That's the third part. That normally that doesn't happen. You fall into the sea, so at least a certain amount of time you can tread water. You stay afloat. But the sea, the ocean, which that's normally the case, had the properties of a river, and the river was flowing down into the sea, with the result that the waves were not level with his head, but they were above his head. So that's how he was thrown in. But Nahayusaveni, and the ocean acted as a river, with the result being that the waves and the breakers were above my head instead of level with my head. Let's do one more pasuk. So I said, Nigrashti Minaganinaka, I've been driven away from being the subject of your vision. I've been driven away from your eyes, from your eyes. Ach, but Oisiv Lahabid al Hecha Kachecha, I will continue to gaze at your holy sanctuary.
So again, it's like the basic analysis.
So Rashi learned Shat in this pasuk. Yeah, I know, you got it right away. Rashi learned Shat in this pasuk. The Yosef thought that Hashem banished him. And he's going to die. Because if you're banished from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, then life is not life. And you're going to die. He thought he's going to die. Amarti Nigrashti Minegad Enecha. That's how Rashi learns. But I saw that I didn't die. So now that gives me hope that I'm going to be zeicher to get out of here and go back to the Beis HaMikdash. So according to Rashi, I never thought I was going to see the Beis HaMikdash again. I thought I was going to die. I thought it was all over. All that's precious to me, I'm not going to see. But I haven't died yet. So it gives me hope that I'm going to get out of here and go back to the Beis HaMikdash. That's Rashi. Rabbi Abinah learns this pasuk according to the Medrash that we said. He has a totally different way of learning the pasuk than Rashi. Rabbi Abinah says that Yosef, Yena was saying, Rashi learns that he was expressing that they thought he was banished from a Kaddish Baruch Hu when he's going to die. And the word Nigrashti is like a gerush, like a divorce. Hashem divorced me. But Rabbi Abinah says that Yena is talking about himself. He's saying, I divorced myself from God. Ran away. Like we explained, you can't run away from God, but he thought you could run away from getting a nevuah from God. You can't run away from Pnei Hashem, but you can run away from Lifnei Hashem. So the Baruch Hu learns, I forced my own divorce. I ran away from my husband because I didn't want the nevuah. And I thought that you could do such a thing. You could run away from Nashkacha. You could run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You remember from Nashkach as Hashem. But I was wrong. because you can't run away. Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you know, you could be by the water. You could be out of Eretz Yisrael. You could be among Avdei Avod Zarah. You could be in a turmoil. All the things that he thought would take him away from the Hashgacha. Hashem wants you to come back. We're going to come back to the Beis Hamikdash, and we're going to come back to the Nevuah, and I'm going to prophesy that which I'm commanded to prophesy on Ninveh. And Yoni said that, you know, if I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go to Ninveh, and he still wants me, you know, so that means I'm going to be a Navi again. That's a tremendous, tremendous comfort, even after what I did. I can only fulfill the shlichus if I go to Ninveh and I deliver the Nevuah. That means I'm going to be a Navi.
Why couldn't he get the Nevuah right there? He was underneath the Har HaBayis. So he was, according to the Medrash.
He didn't do tshuva yet.
If he would have done tshuva right there, he would have gotten the Nevuah.
He didn't do tshuva yet. And the Medrash is a third pshat in this pasuk. Not that he's going to go back to the Beis HaMikdash, not that he has hoped to see it again, but he's there. He's there. And that to him is a sign that he's still not banished from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. He's mamish there. He's there by the Beis HaMikdash. He's mamish there. Three pshatim. Okay, that is what we wanted to talk about today.